obsession isn't something you can just be like, oh, I'm done. Turn it off.
Obsession is like love. It's sort of just, you don't even know why. Like, and that's what's good about, like they even ask, you know, his... The Gyllenhaal character's wife asks him why he has to do this, and like, you know, he's essentially, he's clearly obsessed.
He gets frustrated, and he's like, and he's just like, do.
I'm the only one that can, you know. It's the same with Callahan in the Dirty Harry movie, which, you know, obviously was made
in Dirty Harry movies. Don't they always kill his partners or something? There has to be
a lot of times they do something.
Like, doesn't his wife get shot or something?
His wife got killed by like a drunk diver.
Yeah, but then that's what drives him.
No, it isn't. The thing is that, and that's what you saw part of the first one. You've seen them all.
I've seen all of them except for the last two, I think.
Okay, well, in the first one, someone asks him, the wife, his first partner is injured pretty badly in the first one. Mm-hmm. And his partner's wife asks him, like, why do you still do this? Because Harry talks about, I used to have a wife, she got killed, I kind of never really seen fit to, like, you know, it's just some it's kind of bullshit talk where he's sort of trying to comfort her as they're walking away from the hospital. She's like, well, why do you keep doing this? And he's just like, I don't really know. Like, and there's just like this sort of straightforward honesty. It's not like...
But they wouldn't, here's the thing you're missing. They wouldn't give that information about his wife being killed. That's the perfect thing to give as a character's background story, as to something that would internally drive him to keep on being a cop when he doesn't have to.
Yeah, his wife's not there to.
His wife's not there, but also she was killed by a drunk driver. So like he's got, it's like
seek
it's
justice.
It's like a mini Batman type of thing. You know, cops are cops for a reason, unless they're just meatheads who want to become cops.
Same with a lot of other professions. But I mean, like that obsession is just such a. But that's also not what. What Zodiac does it so well is it does like that you can only be obsessed for so long. You know, and so you see the people, like you said, the different levels of it kind of burn out on people. And as long as it's part of a job, move on. And then there's that scene in the boat where the Robert Downey Jr. character tells the Gyllenhaal character kind of like, look, this is done and move on. It's almost sort of embarrassing that the Gyllenhaal character is as obsessed about it at that point, you know? Like everyone else has moved on, this is done.
Right. But he's being told that from a guy who had already ruined him.
Yeah,
you know, and it comes close to ruining Ruffalo. Edwards jumps ship, mm-hmm. and anyone who was involved is like, you know, get off the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The ceaseless vigilance that Gyllenhaal's character shows earns him a divorce, and is, you know, don't call, I'm taking the kids, you know, and him.
But then she comes back later. I guess from the text at the end, you sort of imply that there was a divorce, because it didn't happen in the movie. She came, that whole thing with the kids and don't call, and then later on she shows up.
I thought she was dropping off divorce papers when she came back to him, and also the mail or something like that.
No, she had something. I don't know what those papers were. Maybe they were, but in real life,
the guy got divorced.
No, I'm sure. Yeah.
Like, while that was happening, you know. So
well, he'd been divorced already once before. I mean, that might speak to a different aspect of his character.
Possible.
I'm always interested in that. Concept of divorce to me is such an interesting concept.
Choking too much.
It's like one of the ultimate failures in life, right? Or it seems to me like it would be.
I think people just don't care about it anymore, and so it just becomes like a, hey, guess what, we can just get divorced if we're not into it.
Part of it, but at the same time, I mean, it speaks to a lot of things. It's like, you thought you were so confident in something at some point, but now, that didn't work, you
know? The fact that it's...
Because anyone can be wrong, you know?
The fact that divorce is so accepted now makes it so that it's in the back of people's mind when they're considering whether or not they're confident. Well, I don't have to be that confident because I can get divorced.
That's weird.
I think that's where it plays into it.
It seems to me almost like if you've got that mindset, and maybe I'm just being ridiculously romantic, but if you've got that mindset going into it, then it kind of seems like why are you bothering with the whole like pretense of anything like that in the first place? Why get married, you know?
You told me.
Weird. Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet myself, you know? I've never been that driven to be like connected to another person that I've been. I mean, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. It's weird tangent. But like, but a lot of relationship things for characters in movies always kind of lose me or win me for them. And one is a big one for me has to do with like faithfulness in relationships. Like, it's hard for me to like a character as awesome as the character is if the guy, like, cheats on his wife. You know, like, I just, like, I'm like, yeah.
So you didn't like the protagonist of My Bloody Valentine 3D?
I never saw that. But no, like, in Mad Men, like I really like the Donald Draper character in a lot of aspects.
Don D. Raper.
Yeah, but he...
That's what I call him.
That's good. But he's... I mean, it's one thing to be a prick to people, you know, to be like House, yeah. You know, like to be a, or Sherlock Holmes, to be like kind of a jerk to people and everything. But it's another thing to like to fuck over your wife or somebody like that, you know. Like to me, that's not cool. That's but not more not cool. That it really loses me a lot of points. And in a weird way, I kind of connect that with divorce. And so like when the Gyllenhaal character said that he was divorced, I was like, that seems unlikely. Must have been her fault was the first thing I thought. Like, he must have married someone that seemed nice and became a bitch because he seems like such a quiet, kind of nice cartoonist. You see that he's good with his kids, and you see that he's got custody of them, too. Or that they're just with him most of the time when you see him in the movie.
Like, in the beginning, you only see him with one of the kids.
Yeah, you never see that other kid for a while, yeah.
So
I mean, it's just weird because it's like you're trying, especially in investigative movies or in movies about characters where... Something, there's bad, clearly bad things going on.
Yeah.
You want to find those people that, like, you can be like, okay, I think this person's going to be good and going to do the right thing and going to make the right decisions and I can count on them. I mean, that's a fun game that I'm sure that people play in stories. Like, you know, when they're making a story, it's like, oh, let me can make the audience think that this person that's so reliable and so decent and honorable and trustworthy is the good guy. And then, of course, everyone loves the anti-heroes now, where they end up being the one that does the right thing at the end. But up till then, they've been the asshole. And up till then, the good guy has been the good guy, and then he's the bad guy at the end or something. But, yeah, I don't know. That's just something I look at when I look at a lot of movies. It's weird. It's like, why... It seemed off to me. I mean, it's true to life, but you never know the complexity of someone's life. Like, I don't know. Whatever. Zodiac was a good movie.
Yeah.
I don't know, is there anything like in movies that like that bugs you about characters? Like where it's tough for a character to
I generally just don't like if I don't know why someone is doing something they could very easily just quit. Like obsession is one thing, but it's gotta have a cause.
Like a root cause, yeah.
You know? And I can talk myself into characters doing things for a certain reason, but if there wasn't something underlying that would cause them to be into it, you know, it's why Batman's such an easy like.
Yeah,
he's got a real reason to have this drive, and he's maybe pathological about it, but whatever. But in something like, you know, most cop movies, cop action films are like, they do something. They bust somebody, and then somebody wants revenge and does something big time to them, and
yeah.
So they have to go back. Or a partner gets killed, or there's a kidnapping of their daughter, or, like,
that's the kind of thing that's, like, easy, you know? And that's fine, because in real life,
easy,
people don't really go into things because of something that happened in their childhood.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I became a vet because... I watched my cat die of AIDS, and I wanted to do everything in my power to save any animal from ever doing that again. Who knows? There might be doctors who do that.
Yeah.
Most times it's like, what can I do to make some money when I get older? Well, I could be a vet, because I wouldn't have to be that guilty if I accidentally killed my patient.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know? Like,
No, motivation, that is a big one. I find myself struggling with that.
Real-life motivation is different from film motivation. The problem is, films need it.
Yeah.
You need it. You have to have that there. And when it's weak, that's one thing. You know, when things happen to a protagonist, and then he goes on, you know, Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing these things. He's kind of a sleazeball. He does kind of unscrupulous stuff for people. Takes pictures of divorces and...
Yeah.
And or of cheating and you know. But you find out this character was somebody who was a cop, and then... something terrible happened, and now he's trying to forget that part of his life, and he gets sucked back into this thing because of all these, you know, that's great. But then you got a movie where a guy just does what he does, and you never know why,
but
he's just a good guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Commando, his daughter got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Predator, he's fighting for his life.
Yeah.
But why is he out there in the first place? He's just some guy.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's really not important, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the long run. Die Hard, it's a kidnapping, and Lethal Weapon in the first one especially, you know, like this guy is a cop on the edge because he doesn't really have anything to live for anymore, you know, anymore. And he's got this bullet in his gun, he's yeah. ready to do. And at the end, he's learned, and he gives his buddy Rig or Murtaugh the bullet. I'm not going to be needing this anymore. And he's like, "Thanks. I don't know what this means, but thanks." You know.
Well, he would know. He gave it to the daughter. And they just give it to him. She's like, "It's a bullet." He's like, "Yeah, he'll know what it means."
Oh, nice. I don't know.
You don't remember that?
I always remember him like tossing it to him over the car. I make these things up in my mind.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
And he's like, "Here you go." I don't need that anymore. Oh, thanks. But I'm trying to think of something, and I can't really. I mean, I know it bothers me in films, but
well, I remember when you did. Maybe I'm just aware of it because I wasn't in on it. I wasn't in on the podcast. But when you did a Beowulf review, it was like you and Micah. And Michael was talking about it was for the glory, and you're like, but they didn't give it any reason.
Why is it for the glory?
yeah.
Who gives a crap about glory? Why does it matter?
I mean, it's like that character did.
And they didn't explain that it was super important in their culture. I mean, Achilles, you know, wanted to, or Achilles or Hercules, they wanted to become immortal, like with their names to become immortal. So that's why they did the great things they did. And, you know, Hercules, after his death finally in Greek mythology, like became a star, or his name was forever, you know, so his name lived on and what, you know, the fame, like it was important because it was part of that culture.
Yeah.
But if you don't explain something like that, then who gives a crap why he's doing all these tasks for nothing?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's a good one. Here's a good one that we should play with. And I mean, there's elements of it in the second movie, but Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade. Temple of Doom, he says, fortune and glory, and he's more of a mercenary type in Temple of Doom. More of the grave robber angle is bigger in that. But if you go by the first movie, by Raiders of the Lost Ark, I mean, he gets a little money to go on these adventures and get these things for the museum, and he teaches, and the real thing is like. But why does he care, right?
Well, here's the thing. There's certain ones that have a weakness in the explanation of the character that are filled in by a good actor. And Harrison Ford is perfect for these because he's got this really, you know, for lack of a better word, human demeanor.
Yeah.
Where he wears a lot of expression on his face and he seems down to earth, though in real life he's not, apparently. He's a dick. He's got the sideways smirk, and you can tell when he's upset, and it really seems like, you know, he's always teaching, and then he gets, someone's like, "Hey, we got this ridiculous thing," and he's like, and then he's there, you know, like, this guy likes adventure, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
The third one really hammers it down. That's great. Yeah. If the third one didn't exist, it would probably still bother me, but the third film pretty much tells you, I mean, it's almost like a pathological answer to the way his father treated him as a child, or whatever, you know, like that, and he's in
kind Greek,
of, and he's in kind of the same field, you know, like he's kind of following his father's, you know, it was the perfect thing to do with that character, and it really made the character awesome in my mind, and it really gave all the answers, all the motivations, stuff like that, and the fourth one, of course, kills it again.
Yeah,
you know, having seen those movies as a kid, I didn't care as much.
No, no.
And if I had seen them now, I'd probably think, like, for the first time, like, why is he doing this?
That is the hardest thing with, like, plots. It's like, see, you've got an awesome story.
The plot is one thing. Fill me in. I know that, you know, it ends up being a lot of stuff where he goes to get the girl back. He's only, you know, when he decides that he'll blow up the thing that matters so much to him to save the girl with the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah, that's like a turning point in his character.
No, that's not to save the girl. That's just because he knows that it is so.
I know, but he wants the girl. He wants the girl.
Yeah, that's true. You know? He does say, "Give me the girl, or I'll blow
exactly."
Yeah.
You know, and the big thing is like whether or not they could even be an item, and then they had some bad blood because of a past thing, and like it ends up being that sort of thing. But that film was made by those guys, the masterminded, like an old genre film.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like it didn't matter because that stuff wasn't written that way back then. You know,
yeah.
So you got a guy who does a thing, Sam Spade, Philip Marlowe.
Yeah.
You don't get reasons why they do what they do. They just get jobs given to them. And then they get screwed over along the way. And they get angry about getting screwed over. And then they want to solve
then
it.
Then they go and solve it.
You know?
That's what's great about detective stories. Yeah, because you can take it as written. You have a plot.
Right.
And you don't have to ask that why at the beginning.
Right.
Because it's just like, it's their fucking job. Somehow she came in and she gave him money.
Generally, at some point always goes.
Yeah, it has to.
Because you can't just be something so outlandish as a detective just because.
Yeah, exactly.
So someone's always like, why do you do this? You know, and they're like, I can't do nothing else, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Or like, I was a cop, I left the force, yeah. I don't know how to do anything else, so this mm-hmm. is, you know, it's usually, it's something like that, that's fine. I, you know, whatever. In reading, I've always read a lot of mystery novels, and the old stuff especially, and Dorothy Sayers wrote this series of this guy named Lord Peter Wimsey,
mm-hmm.
who was a Bertie Wooster type, foppish, idle rich playboy in, like, you know, the early century London, 20s, 30s, whatever. And he's brilliant, but he spends, you know, he's a fantastic wine taster. He likes hanging with the ladies. He goes to clubs. He's kind of turns down his nose at people, but he speaks with kind of like an uncouth accent. He like mm-hmm. speaks like the streets, and he's constantly solving murders because he enjoys puzzles and finds it's the only thing that really like.
What's the Sherlock Holmes?
It's Holmesian a little bit, but it's like give someone a reason why they would be driven to do something that most people wouldn't do unless it was just their job.
Yeah. You know, I think you have to make them eccentric. You have to make them exceptional.
I think in most cases, doing the things where they're kids is fine. I mean, despite the fact that we talk about like it's trite, you know, who you are is absolutely molded in childhood.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And your likes and dislikes then go on to kind of dictate your hobbies, which may say more about you than your job. And, in many cases, it'll even dictate your job. You know,
yeah.
What you decide to do as a kid may be something you try to follow your whole life. And that I think that's a good enough important place, because something you're fascinated with or something that you're drawn to for some reason, and if it's because it reminds you of happy times with your father, or it's just something that you found that you were really good at, you know, like, if there's something like that, that's great. And I will never fault that for being trite. But when it's just like, a guy's a cop and decides to save a bunch of people just because... Whatever, you know. In Speed.
Yeah.
Why is he such a Boy Scout? Why? I mean, he's a cop.
He shoots the hostage. I mean, like, that's pretty crazy,
he's,
right?
He's his partner.
Yeah.
But what they never explain is, why is he so driven to do... I mean, there's police procedure.
Yeah.
You follow it, or else people die, generally, you know. Or whatever, you know. He feels the need to jump on the bus. He feels the need to I don't know. I mean, what causes him to act in these reckless ways? You never find out. Luckily, it's not important in a film like that. But in another film, it might be. And if it's not explained...
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. With There Will Be Blood, if there was not that scene where he's talking to the guy that may or may not be his brother...
Mm-hmm. About competition.
And he explains to him that he's got the competition in him or whatever he says. And, you know, like, if he doesn't explain that, then it's always a little wishy-washy as to why he is the way he is. And he doesn't even explain much. He just says
good performance, and the first few minutes of that movie almost do it without that scene, for my opinion.
It does, but...
Like, that scene is almost
you have to just kind of assume otherwise, like, well, maybe there was something that happened. Like, you start thinking like that. Like, what explains his character? When he just says, I've got this fire burning inside me that causes me to be this way against people, you just understand, like, it's, you know...
A little bit of mental illness.
Possibly, but I mean, like, people have compulsions and obsessions.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you just even mention that, it makes it better than, like, oh, his dad touched his butthole.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, that was a good example. And then we talked about, like, isn't the problem... Well, it's not a problem for you... But, like, isn't Gone Baby Gone kind of a problem that way? Because, like, the novels, they mention...
The novel,
like,
his dad touched his butthole.
His dad beat the shit out of him or whatever.
Whatever.
So he had a sense of community.
He intends doing this. The thing is, they explain a sense of community, and they make him very much a person of the streets.
Yeah.
And so when something like this happens, he becomes very protective.
Yeah.
And he kind of feels like he has followed up because he trusts the lower people so much. So you get that idea. But no, you're right. 2007 Eastern Promises.
Yeah.
Why does he do that? Why does he give up his entire life
and get the tattoos and
get the tattoos and go through the system for so long to bring
that
in this
movie
thing
again? I haven't.
It's great. I love the film. Why does he do it?
Don't they give a reason at the end?
No.
They really don't, do they? No.
He's just, by the way, I'm an undercover cop. This was all...
Yeah.
This was all a thing. Yeah, I've been doing this for years. He's just doing it.
And you're like, do they cut fat checks to your dying mom or what, man? I mean, what's going on here, you know?
Exactly. You know, a good director...
That made me a little incredulous about that movie. That's one reason I did not... Because it's like...
It bothered me.
What? They just want to make you a good guy?
You know what? Cronenberg's a great director. And a great director can make that less important. It's not a fatal flaw. It's not a fatal flaw in that case. If you put in lesser hands, I mean, I think the reason why they want such structure, such rigid structure, and this has to happen, all these points have to be hit, all these things, you know, in the first 10 pages, you need to know what the character is about, what drives him, what's his motivation, what's his goal, what does he want. If you don't do that, then in the hands of someone who's not a master director, that's not going to come through to the audience. Mm-hmm. That's why that stuff is there. Because you have to assume that what you did is the last form it'll ever be in. You can't assume that someone's going to make a film, much less yourself.
Right, so a robot can direct it and it will still appeal to people's humanity. You know,
So that after they wring everything out of it, there's still at least the semblance of what you put together by the fact that you're hammering it over the heads.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, that's becoming my bigger problem now as I'm making an effort to write more and as I review more stuff, is looking at like how are problems of writing being solved. Like you said, the character motivation thing is big. Just general plot points, structures with pacing, and then handling of subplots, I guess, are to me all these like, and in Zodiac, they give like the tension with the wives. Yeah. They do a little of that. They get it out of the way. It doesn't take over the whole
movie. I mean, yes, because it's not about the characters.
It's not. Yeah. They do enough of that to give them enough depth. You know,
I think it's important because it shows what, you know, not so much who they are, but what happens to their lives is the fallout of obsession and of this intense search for meaning in details and facts and numbers that may or may not have anything to do with, you know, it's obsession over almost like trivial things.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, the murder of other people is trivial, but there's never, you know, they never have hard evidence of things. They never have, they've got witnesses who think they saw something, but they were shot in the dark, you know, or stabbed in the back and never saw faces. And like you, these people obsess over these things. Sure. It would be nice to find out why they had such obsessive personalities. Maybe they were obsessive personalities and you don't have to explain it, but it's not about them. Nope. Again, it's not about them. It's about, you know, the thing actually happening and what happens to people because of it, you know, not why they're this way to follow the thing.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But that is a tough call too. Is like when you're writing a story, it's like, is the story like, is this a character driven story or is this a plot driven story? Right. And how do you make, I think that, I think I need to have characters that or at least have enough depth or complexity to them in order to care about what's happening in the plot. I think you kind of can't have something that's pure plot, and I always have in all the Fincher movies. So I've never felt like they were super.
Well, the thing is, what happens?
Cold, I guess.
As a side product of what happens in dire situations, you get what the character is about coming out. The stuff's drawn out. You know, it's the old saying about when a man's back is against his wall, you find out who he really is. You know, when his life's in line or whatever, like you find out
the test of character.
The test of character is that, and
the riddle of steel.
That's the riddle of steel. Not at all. I still don't know what the riddle of steel means. I don't know what it has to do with the characters.
James Earl Jones explained it, didn't he? He provided a contrary to it.
He says something, and he's like, "Oh, okay," and chops his head off. Like
no, he says, he explains it to Conan. When he called
the movie starts with his dad, who's the lead singer of Jethro Tull, telling him the riddle of steel, and he's like, "Oh, okay, that's vague, thanks." And then the movie happens,
mm-hmm.
and then someone else brings up the riddle of steel, and you know, James Earl Jones talks about it for a while, and then he's like, "Oh, okay," and then they go on for a while, and then in the end, he cuts the guy's head off, and then there's some trite thing about because James Earl Jones says that. That will is stronger than steal.
Yeah, and that's the riddle of steel, right?
Well, that's what he says, but it has nothing to do with what his father told him. And then in the end, turns out steel cuts off heads, right?
That's true.
What the hell does the riddle of steel have anything to do with the movie? What is, no, it's but, just, but, some, it's the just something
will,
cool.
The will to use the steel.
It's just something cool to say. It's the Bible verse that Samuel L. Jackson says before he ices fools, because he thinks it sounds cool or whatever he says.
It's the will to the. It's the will to steal.
Whatever. What does that mean?
The will to steal.
What does that mean?
To Conan. Use it. Conan had the will.
Conan is a character that has suspect motivation.
You think so?
Why is he a barbarian? why does he go on these adventures? People who actively seek out adventures, why are they doing it?
Yeah, usually the only...
He could have raped anyone he wanted. He could have stolen their money. He could have set up a nice little corner of a kingdom for himself at any time. You know, when Olivia Dabo wants him to bed her at the ripe age of 12 or whatever she is.
Oh, my God.
He's like, you know what? I'm going to go and find my own kingdom. Why? You got a nice kingdom right there.
I don't know. There's a lot of, like,
You just killed
a lot of damage.
You just killed a guy who scored 100 points in a game once.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've got this...
Bombada.
You've got the chick from Greed, or Greedy or whatever, sitting there right in front of you. And she was on the Wonder Years.
Yeah, Wonder Years.
What else do you need?
I don't know.
You just killed a big thing that Ray Harryhausen made.
Some people have the wanderlust, man. I mean, I don't know.
Well, why?
That's right. That's a good point.
Shouldn't that be hinted at least to give you the idea?
I think maybe you could hint at.
Well, I'm not just talking about plot motivation. I'm talking about drive.
No, you're right. I think the reason the wanderlust for me works for Conan is because one, he's a kid. He would have been a perfectly happy villager in his little town. But then he's been the only people to survive. It's totally traumatizing. He sees his mother beheaded before him. His whole, like, hordes come in and things are taken out. So stability is not safe. And then he gets enslaved and kept in a place.
So couldn't you have said at the end of The Destroyer, like, sorry, babe, I can't stay in the same place.
People might come. I might see you beheheaded.
No, like, I just can't. It's something I can't. I'm not ready to do yet.